Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. I am broadcasting from the Chuck and Julie Show World Headquarters. Chuck is broadcasting from the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle World Headquarters. And let's just jump right into it today. We've got David Horowitz with us. He really needs almost no introduction, but he's off. He's got a new book out. It's called The Radical Mind, The Destructive Plans of the Woke Left. David, hey, thank you for your time and congratulations on your new book.
Thank you, Julie. I didn't realize you guys were married. Congratulations.
We are. We've been married for a while. People ask us, how do we do it? And it just works. Sometimes I wonder how we do it, too. Let me start out by asking you your new book. Before we get into the book, and I imagine it all ties around also, what do you make, the radical mind, the destructive plans of the woke left, this whole left? I mean, I've been stunned by the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel protests and things like that that we're seeing. What do you make of that?
Well, that's exactly the question. That's my book was designed to answer. How do we come to, what is it, 2000, just in 2024, almost 100 years after the Holocaust, and we have our streets built and our colleges, our elite schools built, with people calling for another Holocaust, an event which was so horrific that the slogan about the event became "Never Again." And the answer is that first of all, we have a lot of people in this country now who aren't here before, who have a religion that tells them to kill Jews. And that doesn't meant to include all Muslims. But it's certainly to be a wake-up call that there's no Muslim leader in the entire world who's denounced what happened on October the 7th. Or that opposes a ceasefire and calls for the end of Hamas. There is a heroic Muslim one. You can get him on the internet. I forget his name, but he's the son of a founder of Hamas. And he was so horrified by what they did. Because he saw they had no regard for human life, and not only did they kill Jews, but they killed Palestinians. I was just watching it this morning, and I urge everybody to try to find YouTube, because this is a man of conscience who understands what's happening here. Unfortunately, not only did the Muslims with Christians work in that during World War II, the leader of the Palestinian support staff of Christians, possibly in Al-Husseini, went to Berlin during the Second World War to raise the Muslims.
Hey, David, I'm going to interrupt you one second. I think you're dropping out. You're dropping out a little bit. It's kind of hard to understand you. If it's okay, can we maybe have you hang up and our producer will call you right back and maybe we can get a better line?
Is this better?
Oh, that's better. Yes. Yeah, whatever you did there is better. Okay, thank you.
He was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. And he wanted to build an outfit in the Middle East. and finish the job that Hitler started. When Israel was created in 1948, 5 Arab dictatorships descended on Israel, spawned and sponsored by the Muslim Brotherhood to exterminate the Jews. This is an old crusade. It goes actually back to Muhammad, who in one of his sacred sayings said that the day of judgment will only come and redemption only be possible when the Muslims fight the Jews and kill them, when the Jews hide behind the rocks and the trees, and the rocks and the trees cry out, "Oh, Muslim, there's a Jew hiding behind me, come and kill him." So it's a genocidal movement. It's a religion with a genocidal streak called jihadism. But the fact is, if you're a leftist, you don't care for the facts, the historical facts. All you have to do is demonize the word colonial settler and pin it on the people that you hate, which is the Jews, and it gives you a license to kill them. A logical person would say, hey, America was settled by colonial settlers. The leftists would say they exterminated the Indians, which is a lie. There are more Indians alive today than there were when the Mayflower landed. Most of the Indians were killed by smallpox, not by American settlers, but the colonial settler society that is America has created a nation which is the most tolerant, most egalitarian, freest, most humane nation in the history of the world. So if you are thinking in terms of facts, you can't join these people. That's why they're so dangerous.
Well, do you believe that the United States should end any Islamic immigration to the United States?
No, I think if you remember, the question of immigration has got to be specific. What countries, what is the vetting process? If you remember, when Trump was elected, he tried to extend, it was actually a program that Obama had initiated, of not admitting immigrants from terrorist countries like Iran, like Yemen, like Syria, because they had terrorist governments and you couldn't trust those governments to vet the would-be immigrants, that they would be peaceful. And that, you know, and there were other countries like Somalia. We let in Ilhan Omar. She comes from a family that worked with a propagandist in the government of Siad Barre, whose terrorist regime, they killed 50 to 60,000 Somalians, something you don't hear too much about when Ilhan Omar speaks. And they had to flee Somalia for a Kenya refugee camp when Siad Barre was overthrown. The UN, which is dominated by Islamic countries, called Somalia under Siad Barre the worst case of human rights abuses in Africa, which is a mouthful. It's saying something. But we lost our universities. I wrote 5 books on the leftist takeover of the universities. They purged conservatives. When people like myself, I visited 400 university campuses in the 1990s, and was always greeted by crowds shouting me down. You couldn't have a conversation. You couldn't have a talk like we're having right here, you know, with challengers. You couldn't hold a debate because the Marxist left had already taken over our universities. And unfortunately, I mean, the big failing of America is its goodness. People are too willing to give the benefit of the doubt. The real problem with the world is not society, which doesn't exist. It's people. That's the problem.
Well, what do you say to the fact that the immigrants to Britain to Sweden. Their parents might have been peaceful, but the next generation has been totally radicalized. So while you might have been the parents, it didn't do you any good.
Because the university, look, the first institutions in Germany that went over to Hitler were the universities. As I say, I've been on 400 campuses. And, you know, I was once a leader of the New Left. I headed its largest magazine, Rampart. I wouldn't have hired these people. They're so low-grade ideologues, and they're so filled with hate. But the Democrat Party has embraced them, and that's the... why is there a Hitler caucus in the House of the Democrat side? Right. Why is Ilhan Omar, why was she put on the Foreign Affairs Committee when she was hardly in Congress by Nancy Pelosi? You have to, if you can answer those questions, she had access to our top intelligence materials. Why is Donald Trump accused of being a white supremacist when in all the years he was the most famous businessman in New York and national figure? Nobody ever said, introduced him as Donald Trump, the host of The Apprentice and a white supremacist.
Yeah.
That was just invented by the Democrats to demonize him, but it has another terrible effect is that it legitimizes racism.
What about George Soros, when you talk about the destructive plans, right?
Why isn't George Soros in jail?
Yeah.
All these demonstrations are illegal. You
right.
have to have a permit to have a parade. That's the basic thing. You can't block a bridge because there are ambulances that need to get across it.
Why is he putting money into this, though? What is his motive, do you think?
Because he hates America and he hates Jews. And the irony is that whenever he's attacked for his hatred of America, it's brought up that he's a Jew. He's not a Jew. The family name was Schwartz. But they changed it to Soros, and he went around with his father helping the Nazis confiscate the homes and properties of Jews when the Nazis took over Hungary. We've been robbed of our history, which is hugely important, by this generation of radical academics who have no business being in schools, let alone being in universities.
Well, tell me a little bit about the breakup of the Horowitz Foundation with Candace Owens. What precipitated that?
Well, Candace, unfortunately, is the media is credentialed by these universities. So that's why you see all these hoaxes on TV and all these non-objective reporters. They make no attempt to tell the truth. They're still spreading the lie that Trump said that Nazis were good people, which
right.
is just there's no evidence whatsoever for that. In fact, it's quite the opposite. So they've been to schools. I mean, our schools are rotten to the core. You know, they're mutilating little children on behalf of crazy theories. They're Nazi theories. That's what the Nazis did. They experimented on unhealthy people, and they want to set up anybody who doesn't toe their line. And we have a weak Republican Party, except there are exceptions like Trump and DeSantis. A weak Republican Party and a vicious Democrat Party that's been taken over by racists. We have a president who's a criminal. Anybody that doesn't think that Joe Biden is a traitor is not paying attention. You don't take tens of millions of dollars, which we have the records of, from China and other gulag countries. Horribly repressive regimes. They've got 2 million actually Muslims, Uyghurs, concentration camps. There's no freedom in China. You don't have a president taking tens of billions of dollars without saying what it's for.
Yeah.
And creating 20 shell corporations to hide it. If what he's doing is not treason, why is he hiding the source of the money and the recipients? And why is he so secretive about what the money was used for? We have a criminal administration and a whole political party supporting that administration.
What do you see happening then? I mean, you know, you talk about the destructive plans in your new book, right, of the woke left. And it seems to me that people are beginning to wake up a little bit. And I do think this pro-Hamas.
Yeah, I fear a summer of violence. I think it's almost inevitable. We don't lock up common criminals. Why should we lock up political criminals who support the left?
Yeah.
As long as George Soros is out there and his son is even worse, pulling out money to these street criminals, as long as we don't have laws that put criminals in jail, and the idea that we should have no fair bail. If you steal up to $900 worth of goods from the department store, it has no harmful effect.
Right.
So we let them back on the streets and under the idea that they're poor. How difficult is it for a judge to see what a person's resources are and to balance that against what kind of danger he may pose to society?
Yeah. No, we don't do that anymore.
It's all ideological. The left is racist. It thinks that black people are criminals, and it thinks that this is a kind of reparations. Whereas the reality is, every slave who was shipped to America was enslaved by black Africans and sold at auctions, slave auctions in Ghana and Benin. And every black person in America who is descended from slaves owes their freedom to Thomas Jefferson and the American founders. Slavery still exists in Africa, but in America, we gave 360,000 mainly white lives to free the slaves. In all history, I can't think of another case of one people making such a large sacrifice to free another.
Have you been surprised, and you and the people, you know, at your Freedom Center, surprised at the, again, you know, when we're talking about the radical mind and the destruction that the left seems to just scatter everywhere? I mean, I got to admit, I've been surprised at how someone could even argue being pro-Hamas. I mean, Tlaib, one of the squad members was basically saying it's okay to...
You are a racist. And think white people are the source of the evil in the world. It becomes very simple. You don't look at what specific acts people actually commit, what specific attitudes. If Donald Trump was a liberal. Nobody ever called Donald Trump a white supremacist. No non-racist ever called him a white supremacist until he ran against the Democrats. They're unscrupulous people. They lie, and they lie because they think they have this greater good that they're achieving, which is to create a paradise where there's social justice.
Well, so
what do you think about the lack of resistance from Republicans to Biden using the Justice Department to try to jail an opponent?
They don't want to be called racist. They're cowards. The Democrats say boo and they run.
Yeah.
How many Republicans have even called a Democrat a racist? Where the whole party subscribes, they supported Black Lives Matter, a criminal organization that killed thousands of people, torched 220 cities over a drug addict who overdid himself on fentanyl. Come on. There's no, you know, in I wrote a book called I Can't Breathe, and in it I quote a 60 Minutes interview with Keith Ellison, who was once a spokesman for Farrakhan. His politics have been changed, but his political allegiances, he's now a Democrat. He was a chairman of the DNC. And he gave an interview to, he was the chief prosecutor on the George Floyd case. And he gave an interview to 60 Minutes a week after the trial. And he was asked, was there a racial dimension to the killing of George Floyd? And his answer was, we couldn't find one. We couldn't find one.
Not for lack of trying. Well, where do you see, David, where do you see, like you said, you know, you fear a summer of violence, 2024, it's, I mean, I think it's going to be probably something like we have never, at least not seen for a long time. I mean, where, how do you see it? Do you think it's going to be Trump-Biden? Do you think Trump is going to prevail? What do you see?
I don't think Joe Biden, well, look, they stole the last two elections, yeah, didn't they?
Yeah.
So
why not this one?
I don't believe Biden could win a fair election, period. His dog catcher. People are hurting really badly in this country, but the Democrats are liars. They're going to lie about everything. And unless Republicans are guarding those, if we have all these paper ballots again, if we have all these ballot boxes that the Postal Service workers stuff, you know, it doesn't take rocket science to see what happened in the last two elections.
No.
And the Democrats did not want it. You always could tell by the cover-up. They didn't want it discussed, did they?
No, you're an election denier. Yep, you're an election denier.
You're an election denier and you're a traitor and you're a white supremacist.
And you're a terrorist. You're a domestic terrorist now. Well, David, listen, let me, because I know you're busy and you've got a lot going on. Where can people find your book and get all of your
stuff? My book should be everywhere. It certainly is on Amazon. It's at my website at frontpagemagazine.com. It should be in the Costco's and the Sam's Clubs. Or you can always get it at my website, frontpagemagazine.com.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. It's always great to talk with you again. And keep
thanks
up
for
the good fight.
Me. And let's save not only our country, but our benighted state.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. David Horowitz there, author of a new book, The Radical Mind, The Destructive Plans of the Woke Left. You know, he has a Freedom Center front page magazine. So thank you, David. Appreciate your time. We're going to jump now. We've got loads of guests. We've got Dr. Brian Jundep, writers. It's a writer's day. And guys, I see you guys have all kinds of great comments here. Maybe we could get, Leo was like, was that frontpagemagazine.com? Yes, it's Front Page Magazine. Real quick, the comments, Dr. Donna, I now hear that many of the to be released tapes from January 6th have been disposed of by the head. Yes, that's right. The Democrats got rid of them. We got Brian Jundep. Dr. Brian Jundep had another great column in American Thinker, The Simple Message That Trump Should Run On. Hey, Brian, thank you for your time.
Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
we can.
Good.
We can hear you fine.
All right, I'm doing this from the car, so this is a new experience. So I'm trying to set up my phone so I'm not holding it and shaking.
Hopefully you're not driving. Are you driving?
I am sitting still.
All right. I would do it and I'd be driving and trying to put on my mascara. And I used to have a friend who used to do the crossword puzzle while he drove, the New York Times crossword puzzle. And I always thought that was not wise, but.
I'll do a talk only interview while driving. I used to do that with Peter Boyles all the time. Cause
yes.
You know, hey, you want to come on in 10 minutes? And I'm like, yeah, I got to go to work.
Hey, well, what would you talk? I mean, I absolutely agree. You know, you look at the polls, the numbers are good for Trump. In spite of everybody trying to say Nikki Haley is surging, I think Trump's going to be the candidate. And you had, I thought, some pretty good advice on just keeping it simple, the message he should run on. Why don't you explain?
Well, the message is simple. Trump has served as president, so he has a 4-year track record. In fact, as president, he will have more experience than Biden, assuming, which is a big assumption, that Biden's going to be the nominee. Trump will technically have a couple months on Biden as president. So you can't use the experience argument against him. And it's quite simple. Trump had 4 years of a good economy, no foreign wars, trying to secure the border, energy independence, low inflation, low unemployment. Things are relatively good. And the question is, do you want to go back to that? What would you rather have, the 4 years that you had from 2017 through 2020, or what we have now? And for most people, there are very few people that are better off. Maybe Jeff Bezos and the Koch brothers, but beyond that, Tucker Carlson probably, but very few people are better off than they were 4 years ago. Just go to the grocery store, fill up your car, try to buy a new car, get a mortgage, any of those things. We were better off under Trump than we are now. And that's really how I would phrase it. Don't have to get into nuance.
He can take whatever he wants to, but you know that the left-wing media, which controls most of the media, the vast majority of the media, is not going to let him run on that. They'll shut that message out and that he's a Nazi and that he's going to, our democracy ends.
Even CNN was, there was something like the five ways Trump will destroy our democracy. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but just a little bit. If he is elected president, I mean, that's where they're going. But Brian, I think what I like about your idea is, I think people, that becomes white noise. I mean, they've been saying this about Trump forever. And I mean, that's a pretty basic, I mean, that's sort of been a political thing forever. It's like, are you better off under this guy than you were under me?
Ronald Reagan did when he ran against Jimmy Carter. You're better off now versus 4 years ago. And 49 out of 50 states decided it wasn't so good under Carter. So yeah. That's a winning message. And it's not just Trump, but his surrogates have to do it. And the asleep at the wheel Republican Party needs to do it. Unfortunately, most of them want Trump to go away, too.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're going to get Ken Buck on his daily CNN appearance to be talking about, we're better off now than we were 4 years ago.
Mitt Romney won't be done. Well, it's amazing how many here in Colorado, the rhinos have come out to attack a wounded congresswoman
Lauren Boebert.
I mean, I forget, you know, Owens has come out against her, Jane Norton has come up from the grave,
all these people who I didn't even know were alive still. Bruce Benson, I mean, they had the Denver Gazette was
the Denver Gazette is against her,
but I don't know.
So they're going to get a Democrat in their place. It's the that's why they call the Republican Party the stupid party. Right. You look at their reaction to George Santos. Yeah, George Santos fabricates and he's plays loose with the truth, just like Joe Biden does and Adam Schiff and a lot of other people. He's been indicted, but he hasn't been found guilty. He's not going to run for reelection. Let him serve out his term. It's not like the Republicans have a big majority in the House.
Exactly.
So they expel one of their own. And the usual Republican rhinos are all on board, the Ken Buck crowd. So what? Now they're down to a 3-vote majority.
What do you think the likelihood is that they'll throw Menendez out in the Senate?
Zero. Zero. How about Eric Swalwell for sleeping with a Chinese spy, or Adam Schiff for lying about Trump-Russian collusion, knowingly going on CNN and MSNBC every night lying?
Right.
Are they going to do anything? No, of course not. Are you going to do anything about the squad members that are supporting pro-terrorism Hamas, that are anti-Semitic? Are they going to do anything? No.
Well, that's because
at least they could come together and throw out a Republican. And all
they unified. They unified. Well,
the Republicans think they're going to win favors. It's like John McCain when he was running for president. He was going to reach across the aisle. He was, he was the darling of cable news. Until he won the nomination. And then he became a Nazi, fascist, racist, sexist, white supremacist, just like every other Republican. So you're not going to win favors from the media. The media hates Republicans regardless. So trying to appease them, it's like trying to appease a grizzly bear by throwing them a piece of meat. They're just going to eat you.
After they do well, the conservative treehouse, Sundance there, has a theory which I think is true. And he said there are sort of fundamental differences in the motivation between the Democrat National Committee Party and the Republican. He said the Democrats exist only to get power. And he said, just what you said about Republicans, they just want to get favors, basically financial favors, and they want to get
they want money.
Right. And so they don't really care if they don't have power. They don't really care if
Santos, they're helping ensure they have less power because now they have only 3 seats.
Right.
But over 100 Republicans happily signed on to the Democratic message without blinking an eye.
Yeah. And instead of let the voters decide, this is somebody that's going to be up for re-election in less than a year. And he's not going to run. So voters will pick somebody else. The smart thing would be to find a suitable replacement for him. He announced he's not running. Find another Republican to run for his seat. Otherwise, it's going to go back to the Democrats. It's a seat that the Democrats have held. So Republicans have just lost more of their very slim majority. And then it just takes a couple of rhinos to vote down. Yeah, I mean, impeachment, Biden, Mayorkas, Garland.
Right.
You get the same Republicans that, oh, no, there's nothing there that rises
to the level
of impeachment. Yeah, no evidence.
Yeah,
you got monthly direct deposit going from Hunter Biden's business account into Joe Biden's personal account. Well, I don't see any evidence.
There was never any contact there. Well,
George Santos is presumed innocent until proven guilty, and it's overwhelming evidence. He has to go. It's nonsense. Right. The Republicans deserve to be in the minority if that's how they're going to act.
Except for their only hopes, we have to try to change it. Well, that's the thing, too, going back to what Chuck was talking about with Lauren Boebert. Whatever your issues are, Lauren Boebert, at least she was a fighter. She was an America First congressional. And so what do the Republicans in Colorado do? The establishment people, they want to get rid of her, right? It's kind of like, why on earth? Because she's
not pure as the wind-driven snow. So, all the Republican donor class in Colorado is standing up for their principles. Well, their principles aren't going to see the light of day if they're in the minority.
Right.
Well, as a practical matter, they have a Republican who retained her seat by 500, 600 votes, whatever it was at the end. So a party with some sanity was kind of, okay, we all have to really get behind her and fight for this key seat. No. They'll make her spend every cent she has trying to defend the seat. If their rhino candidate wins, there'll be such bitterness that it's almost inevitable that seat will go to the Democrats and they will.
Yes, the Democrat will win. A well-funded Democrat will win. And then it's Colorado turns another shade deeper blue. And all the Republican establishment in Colorado are going to, piss and moan about, what happened to the Republicans? What Republican Party? There is no Republican Party in Colorado. We're a one-party state. You got veto-proof majorities in the legislature, the judges, everything. It's worse than California. At least California has some red districts to it.
Right.
What do we have?
We have CD4 with Ken Buck.
Ken Buck, who's auditioning for CNN and throwing his colleagues under the bus. What does he care?
Well, and I think you're right. Going back to Trump's message, and I think you're seeing the things I've read about the polls are like his polls numbers are numbers. But what seems to be interesting is the reasons behind the numbers, and that's not. I mean, which is almost entirely the economy, right? The average person, some people don't like Ukraine, some people don't like this, some people don't like that, but nobody likes the economy, and that's the kind of thing that just hits people in the face, no matter how much Biden and all of his minions try to tell people, oh no. Bidenomics is working great. People are like, no, it's not. I agree with you. I mean, that's Trump should just keep hammering that and it'll be hard because like Chuck, you said, they'll attack him and everything, but just keep it simple. And I'm standing up for you. And every time they take him to court, I think he becomes more popular too.
The message his poll numbers go up with every one of these nonsensical indictments, but the economy, national debt interest payments are over $1 trillion a year. That's going to be the biggest budget item. That's a quarter of tax revenue goes toward paying interest on the debt. That's not going to get any better. because the debt's increasing by $1 trillion a year. So even if interest rates come down, the amount of interest is going to go up. And you got, you know, these 20 somethings that, you know, oh, Biden's great. Well, but my answer to them is fine. You're going to be paying a quarter of your tax receipts are going to go toward interest. It's not going to go toward education or roads or defense or anything else.
Right.
If that's what you want, that ain't going away. So you're either going to have Argentina-like inflation to get rid of the debt, or you're just going to be paying it. There's no appetite to cut spending on either side. You got a new Speaker of the House and, you know, oh, we need money for Ukraine and pass the continuing resolution and, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah, right. Well, and it looks like the Ukraine, maybe briefly your thoughts on Ukraine, because I know, Chuck, you know, monitor that daily too. But it looks like now even everybody, even Europe and everybody is starting to say, okay, so like maybe we don't have to stay in Ukraine and it takes what it takes. Maybe Ukraine should sort of start backing off a little bit here. But I mean.
Yeah, sure. Ukraine is expendable. They ruined the country and killed, you know, hundreds of thousands of young Ukrainian men, a lot have left the country and are not coming back. They destroyed a once decent country. Yeah, they had corruption, but so do we. Big deal. Yeah. And but we're going to make a mess of it, and we're just going to leave. Look what we did to Iraq. Look what we did to Iran. So, yeah, you know, these
look
countries
we
that
Syria. Were, look what we did to,
exactly
to
Lebanon.
Libya. Mean, you know, I must admit, you know, if you look around the world. You know, we all used to believe or think, you know, or at least many of us, that, you know, America, for all its faults, is a force for good for the world. It's
no,
hard
it's not.
To the world today and say what we've done has been good for any of those countries we've aided, like Afghanistan.
I have been to Iran and Iraq, and I've talked to people that live there and heard what they said about what America did. They don't hold it against American people. They hold it against the government, because Iran was a very prosperous back when it was Persia. It was a prosperous country and people visited and it was great. Now, not so much. So, and what did we accomplish out of it? We leave a wake of destruction in our nation building.
Yeah, well, we sold a lot of military equipment. Sold a lot of military equipment, and so they all made money,
but Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and, oh, we're going to be graded as liberators and it's going to be democracy. Well, it's not. It turned it into a mess, and it's very hard for those people to recover. And these are human beings that they just want to live their life. They want to earn a living and take care of their family, and big country comes in and makes a mess of it.
Yeah,
it's bad enough with Saddam Hussein, but then the U.S. piles on and makes it worse. So that's our track record. And it's, you look at what's going on here, it's not much better. We have a weaponized government. The First Amendment's going away, massive censorship. You got Jack Smith wanting to know about everybody who ever liked or retweeted something that Trump did. That's going to be majority of the country.
Yeah.
Every reporter, every journalist followed Donald Trump.
Oh, well, I mean,
what's he looking for?
Well,
just
I think
arrest everybody.
They're going to just use algorithms and, you know, develop things. And I think you're right. I mean, this is my biggest fear, that going into 2024, we had David Horowitz on and he said, you know, he's fearing a summer of violence. I don't know. But I do think, though, they're going to turn it around and use our algorithms to pinpoint anyone who has basically supports Donald Trump, and they'll be able to figure out. And then you're going
to do all kinds of things when, you know, give it to the IRS, give it to grant-making ones of people who are applying for grants. I mean, they can use that information for all their dastardly stuff. You apply for a job in the federal government.
Right.
Well, they want to check whether, you know, you were following Donald Trump. They may not know enough about you, but the tweet thing will condemn you for just following him.
Right. Well, and that'll make everybody else not want to, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing that they want to do. They make everybody scared then, right? Then people are just afraid.
Exactly. But my article that was published today has Trump in the title and it's pro-Trump. So what's that mean for me? I'm not going to be able to travel, or I'll be on the TSA no-fly list. Who knows? They can do anything. And good luck getting off of it. So.
Uh-oh. Here, Chuck, you keep talking. I got to go. So stop. We've got dogs in the house today.
All right. Well, do you think the 2024 election will be as crooked as the 2020 election?
Absolutely. But the hope is that Trump knows all of this. He's not a dumb person, and he knows what happened to him in 2020. And if he hasn't somehow behind the scenes fixed these problems, it's going to be the same outcome. Biden will be in.
They didn't fix them in Arizona. The Democrats fixed it. I mean, that was an outrageous election in which they, you know, the dumb advice the Republicans would get, all vote on election day. And they're good. Yeah, you guys all go on election day and we'll gum it up and make sure you don't get to vote. I mean, how the party of dumb is entering new reigns of dumbness.
The sad reality is that Democrats and the Republican establishment alike don't want anything to do with Donald Trump. And you're going to have all forces arrayed against him. Big media, big finance, Hollywood, sports, academia, you name it. Everybody is against Trump except for 80 million voters and probably more.
Right. Well, more now because
that election in Australia, whether you to affirm the indigenous voice into the Constitution, and every sports figure, every corporation, not every, but vast majority of the big corporation, health groups, law groups, judges, the whole world told them to vote yes, except 55% said no. So there's always
that's correct. Well, but that's assuming we can trust the election and the vote counting and the tallies, and
which
you know, you stop counting on election night, and big Trump lead by the next morning is a big Biden lead, and just in those swing states where they stop counting, all it takes is a few counties, and boom, the election shifted. Once they shut down for the night, they got to see what the deficit was, and then magically all these ballots appear. And next morning, Biden's the winner. And the media's clapping
along.
You're
an election denier. You're an election denier.
And no one even believes that.
I deny results. I admit that there are elections because I voted. So there is an election. I do not deny the fact that we have elections. I don't trust the results.
I hope you're right in that Trump is smart and he understands what he's up against, particularly given the election integrity issues. And hopefully they're not going to do stupid things like wait till afterwards and try to file lawsuits. Hopefully, I agree with you. Hopefully they have a plan in place, at least in the swing states and places where it matters. You know, I mean, maybe not so much Colorado, but you're seeing in some states are trying to get rid of the drop boxes, things like that. So
If Trump does the same thing over again, expecting a different result, you know what that's the definition of. So
yes,
if he does that, then he's going to lose.
Right.
I think we'll lose along with him.
Well, we will. But I think Trump is a little bit too smart to just make that assumption that it's going to turn out differently this time.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't. Who knows what he has going on behind the scenes? He's not going to say anything. And those that know aren't going to say anything. Yeah, there's all sorts of theories and the military and devolution. I don't know. Who knows what's going on? 99% of the people have no idea. And we're just speculating and all these things that sound good. Yeah, maybe they're going on. Maybe they're not. I have no idea.
Hey, listen. Look, I'm just going to take my daughter's dog is visiting us. Brian, I know you had a hard out here, so we'll let you go, so we don't have to, you know, to get to whatever your next endeavor.
Bring the dog on. You'll be followed by a dog.
By the dogs, no. Hey, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for your good to see you.
My pleasure. Anytime, okay. And happy to talk with you guys.
That's great.
All right, love it. All right, thank you. Talk to you later, Brian. Dr. Brian Jund up there. His latest column is up in American Thinker. And thank you, Thomas, our producer, reminded me too, because Brian said he had a heart out there. Well, real quick, Chuck, I wanted to just briefly talk, and you did too. You've been following the climate. People may not be aware of this, but all of our betters, the elites, some freaking 70,000 of them have gathered in
delegates
in Dubai to worry about climate change and global warming. Now, Chuck, is it just me or... like, okay, so the summit president who leads the United Arab Emirates National Oil Company, I mean, first, I find it odd that they're holding a global warming conference in Dubai, number one.
Said, who better to do it than people who are in oil production and who put a lot of money into renewables? And then the BBC got a hold of an inner memorandum saying, hey, we can make all kinds of oil deals at this meeting with all these people.
Well,
but just the people going there, it's if you're on the left, and I'm not sure how many of our listeners are on the left, but, you know, at least one time, you have to make the Hajj to the COP conference of parties.
And you must travel by private jet or
private
yacht.
Private jet, of course. But it's a big, they have more fun getting drunk there. And even though you can't legally drink in Dubai, and they party and have orgies, and it's one big, and it's all paid for the almost 200 governments that go there because
by our tax dollars.
Oh yeah. I mean, these nonprofits don't make any money. The only thing they do is get government grants, and so the left wing governments give them this thing, and everybody once a year, dances around the maypole. I mean, it's fantastic. It's a fortnight, a 2-week lefty fun.
Well, thing. They can't be like, I guess, is John Kerry going to be there the whole time? Or that Greta?
Oh, yes, because you have to understand what's so exciting about these cops. I mean, they're sort of like Bronco football games these days. It comes down to the very end. They don't have an agreement. It's not going to work. The world's going to explode. And then at the very last moment, by staying over a couple extra days, they come up with an agreement and they agree to the next phase of it. And everybody cheers and goes home and tells their kids and parents, we did it again. And the thing is, everybody's got a little different sort of view toward it. Now, if you're part of the poorer countries, you want to get these schmuck richer countries just to pay you money. Right. And you call that loss and damage, that you incurred all this damage during the
from us polluting everything.
Yeah, 170 years of industrial revolution, and therefore, and I think Dubai agreed to put in $500 million, and somebody else 200. We're only giving 17 million, which is very cheap of us. I mean, I can't believe that.
Yeah, does Zelensky know about this? He's probably going to.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be annoyed about it. Wait a minute. Well, we're talking about some ecological damage.
Well, and that's all it is. It's just a massive redistribution of wealth, basically out of our taxpayer dollars. Yes. It goes, it's again, the Democrat money laundering. It goes into these non-governmental organizations, the NGOs, who then will spend $1 billion to fight for trans rights in some country that no one else ever heard of as reparations for pollution, I guess. Right. And of course,
and then
since
the nonprofits in these African countries,
well, and since there aren't any transgender people in those countries, they'll just keep all the money, right? Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to fight for. It's just this giant con and scam. And I don't think people care that much. There was a time when this was kind of a big deal, and they kind of
a big deal. The Pope was going to go, but he got sick again. But King Charles is down there telling us.
Yeah, he had to go home.
And some of the people there, Nelson Mandela's granddaughter.
But John Kerry was mad about it, wasn't he? Huh? Wasn't John Kerry mad about the location?
Yes, he said it was a betrayal of the public trust.
Right.
And
then did you see, it was kind of funny.
Why did somebody knock him off?
There were all of these pictures of planes in Germany that were planning to go there that were frozen to the tarmac because it was so cold. They had a blizzard go through, so they couldn't get through there in time. So,
well, you know, down there, be a little late, better late than never.
Well, I mean, some people probably can't go for the whole thing. It is just the most ridiculous.
You have to understand, this is the Mardi Gras to the left. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the biggest fun thing. It's, I mean, how many people are at Woodstock? Not 70,000.
No.
Not 70,000. 70,000 committed left-wing jerks that want to calm the world into
make us eat bugs
themselves.
And have us drive our EVs that won't plug in and that won't do anything.
And
I guess the president of it, though, again, who I don't know, why would you have your summit president be the person who's running the United Arab Emirates oil
because
company?
Because whoever's the head of the country leads the talks. So when it was in Denmark, the head of the Swedish, Danish government headed them up. And when they had it in Japan, it was the Japanese. So whoever is the lead CEO of the country, whether it's a president or a premier, they take over. And so they drive the agenda and make sure that everything happens.
But he got in trouble because he said there's no science on what phasing out fossil fuels would actually achieve.
He did mean that.
Can I interrupt for one quick second?
Sure.
Okay, so I was at the JNF convention over the weekend, and the protesters were there. And a lot of them were saying that, you know, I mean, off the record, that they were they're like protesters are us, you know, they're protesters for hire.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are a couple of real protesters, and the rest are fill-ins. And one lady mentioned that it's all sources money, and they get a check at the end of the week or whatever. It's quite interesting that, and there weren't that many, but I guess when the cameras don't pan out, you think it's a crowd, it's a huge crowd, but it wasn't a huge crowd.
Where were you at?
The
JNF convention. The convention center.
The pro-Hamas people were protesting at the convention center downtown, banging in the windows. No, Jacob, you're right. I mean, it's just, I cover that for years, and it's the same people over and over again. And you're right. They all make money. I mean, they put ads up in various places, too, you know, where you can be an activist or something. So, hey, listen, though, we have to go. Thank you for that, though.
Go. Bye.
Bye. And Chuck, that will do it for us, too, on this Monday. Right. I want to thank Thomas.
Climate to all of you.
Peace and climate. And that'll do it for us, everybody. Thank you, everybody on Zoom. We'll see you all later on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.